This is Chad Harrison, and you're listening to Hope Alive, applying God's Word to your daily life. Hi, this is Chad Harrison, and I am the teaching pastor of Lake Community Church and have been serving as a pastor for 25 years. I'm also a practicing attorney. This podcast is designed to help you study God's Word and find God's will for your life. I pray in the name of Jesus right now that God would open up His Word to you and allow you to see Him and to know Him and to know His will, that you might glorify Him and that you might walk in faith and power each and every day, especially today, in Jesus' name.
Good morning. Welcome to Lake Community Church's Morning Bible Study. We're in Exodus chapter 30, and we're dealing with what we're dealing with this morning. The reasons, because that's what God told them to make. And what's interesting about this is that God told them to make this America, and He didn't tell them. He didn't tell us in the Word. He didn't tell us in the Word how it was to be made. He just said, make it. He didn't give the ingredients or how you cook it up or how you make the oil. He just said, make this oil. Now, there's a reason for that. And the reason is because if He would tell us exactly how to make it, in the sense of to make this concoction of oil, I don't even know how to describe it, to make this recipe of oil, if He'd have told us to do that, then that would have been the whole thing that we did. But it would have been a magic spice. It would have been a magic elixir that we would make and sell and treat like the oil was important, like the actual oil itself, what was being used was the most important thing. And so we would have, well, the truth is, we would have treated it like an idol. It would have been idolatry for us. We would have taken that oil and we would have been using it everywhere. It had been rubbed on everything that we could imagine. We would have spent our whole lives going around anointing trees and all our possessions, our homes, all that kind of stuff. We would have anointed it with oil as if it was a magic elixir, not understanding the purpose of it, not understanding the reason behind having this anointing of it. And I'm going to go through real quickly those liquids in Scripture that pictures of the work of the Holy Spirit or how the Holy Spirit works. First, you have water. Water is a picture of the refreshing and the washing of the Holy Spirit on the outside of the body. It's a picture of the washing or the cleansing of the Holy Spirit, or the removing of the world from it. It's God removing of the carnality of the world from us. He just washes it away. And in worship, it's a picture of that also. And that's why you have the laver with the water in it. After they make the sacrifice, they clean the world off of them, and then they go in to hear from God and to meet with God. All right, so water is a picture of the cleansing. And on the inside, because Jesus said, I'm going to be making you wells of living water, it is the refreshing of God. It's where we go from feeling dead and dusty and decayed on the inside. It's where we go from feeling that way to feeling refreshed and renewed, because the Holy Spirit renews and refreshes our lives on the inside. When we hear God's word, when we act in faith, God's, the Holy Spirit wells up into us that life, that eternal life that God has for us. All right, so you have the refreshing and the cleansing of the Holy Spirit that's found in water. And when you see water in Scripture, generally speaking, that's what you ought to always think about. Is this the refreshing of eternal life on the inside, or is this God washing and cleansing us from the influences and the power of the world on the outside? All right, so that's water. The second one is wine, and wine is a picture of the goodness of God, and wine's value is to drink, obviously. You imbibe wine, you take it in, and it's a picture of the Holy Spirit and His goodness, and it has nothing to do with the outside of the body. And why is that? Because you can feel the goodness and the joy and the peace of God, no matter what the circumstances are on the outside, no matter what's going on in your life on the outside, no matter what the difficulties are, what the struggles may be, on the inside, you can have the joy of the Lord. You can have the goodness of God, the render of knowing God. You can have that on the inside, if you're born again. And that's a clear picture by God that He's given us, a special picture that God has given us as His goodness been on the inside. And that's why when you see Ryan Jerome speaking, it is a picture of the goodness of God. And in the New Testament, it's a picture of the blood of Jesus Christ. And by the way, the blood of Jesus Christ is the goodness, is the life that God has given us. Jesus's life, the life is in the blood. And when it pictures that blood of Jesus, it's the best God gave. God gave His very best for us. And so you see the goodness, the best, the peace, the joy, the purpose of God at work. And then finally, we have the oil of the Holy Spirit. And it's not an inside the body thing. They don't make it. That's not how it works. Oil is a picture of the power and the presence of God upon believers in the world. That is always what it's a picture of. This anointing oil, even though it doesn't teach us how to make it, because it's not about the concoction. It's not about the recipe. It's about the presence and the power of God on us in our lives. And so when you're studying and you crash oil or you come across anointing oil, we let our church have anointing oil for those situations where a person is running to wreck my faith and what God has for them, where they're finding their purpose and their position in the kingdom of God. And then we have virgin olive oil, which we use for prayer for the sick. And James chapter 5 tells us, if any of you are sick, let him call on the rebels of the church and anoint with oil, and the prayer and faith shall raise him up. Now, remember, the oil is not a concoction. It's not a magic trick. It is the prayer and faith that raises them up. The oil is the recognition, and the use of oil is the recognition that the power of God and the presence of God is given to us as a gift. And Jesus said it was necessary that this gift come, that He go and this gift come, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so the Holy Spirit comes and He rests upon us in power, and His presence is all around us. And even in the ancient times when they would try to describe what it means to have the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit upon us, they would draw pictures and they would make these halos. And the halo is really, it's really the Shekinah glory of God. It's the presence of God upon believers, and that is what it represents. And so when they take this anointing oil and they anoint the tabernacle, and when they anoint Aaron and his sons, what they're saying is the presence and the power of God is to be in this place and on these people. And let me say that. But there are places where the presence of God is. And that's where God's people meet, to meet with Him. And there are obviously people where the presence of God is upon them and His power is upon them. And remember how you go from the refreshing and the goodness of God on the inside to the power and the presence of God on the outside. Well, the way you do it is by faith. When you feel the goodness of God, when you feel the refreshing of God, when God washes and cleanses you on the outside, when the work of the Holy Spirit, that work of the Holy Spirit's done, now it's time to trust Him and wet by faith. And when we trust Him and wet by faith, the oil of the anointing oil of the Holy Spirit is upon us. And we walk in power. We walk in the world we are, and we take territory. We take our position as the kingdom of God in the world that we live in. And so He says in verse 9, "And you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that is in it, and you shall hallow it and all its utensils and air, and it shall be heavenly." Notice that you got the power and the presence and the holiness of God is there. "You shall anoint the altar with burnt offerings and its utensils and consecrate the altar." So here's to anoint all the furniture that is inside the tabernacle, there to anoint the altar of burnt offering on the outside. Remember, all those things are pictures of what we do in worship. It's pictures of our worship. So He's saying, I want you to anoint all that is worship. I want you to anoint the worship of God. And what does that mean? That means I want my power and my presence to be there. Wow, that's a promise of God that he's given us, that if we will come and we'll be obedient to what he says and to do worship the way he says do it, in the sense of go through the process of entering by Jesus, go through the process of fellowship, which is done in the outer courts, go through the process of offering ourselves as living sacrifices, go through the process of allowing the Holy Spirit to wash us from the worries and the pain and the sin and the problems of the world, when enter in and eat of the bread of it, and have your eyes open to what the Holy Spirit's doing from the lampstand, and then you enter into his presence and go to the very power of God, the very presence of God at the propitiation spot right there at the top of the covenant, and you can hear God, and God hears from you. And he says, if you go through this process and intentionally go through this process and walk in this process, if you'll do that, I'll anoint it in power. I'll make it powerful, and you'll be able to know me and see me. Notice he says, and you shall anoint the laver in its basin, consecrate it. The accoutrements, all the furnitures, all the furnishings, all the things that God has said be made, that's a picture of our worship of him. He says, I want it to be anointed in my presence and my power. He says, then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door. Now notice, it's not just the pictures of what we're to do, but it's us ourselves that are anointed with power. When we trust God, it is we who are anointed with power. And so he said, bring Aaron in. And we've talked about this, Aaron's a priest, and we're a priesthood. He says, bring him to the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. Notice. First, what do? We cleanse ourselves from the world. That's a picture of that. It's a clear picture, right? You just see it. The first thing God, before the anoints us in power, before the power and presence of God is upon us, he cleansed the world off of us. It's the same thing Jesus did in the upper room. He washed his disciples' feet. Peter says, if you got to wash me, wash my whole body. And Jesus said, well, everybody let me be clean. Why? Because I've been teaching you. I've been teaching you, God. I've been teaching you about me. I've been giving you the bread of life. You don't need the whole body cleaning, but what do you need? You need the word washed off of you. You need the word removed from you. And so he says, if you're not going to let me wash your feet, you can't have me pet in me. You can't be a part of this. And God wants to wash the world off of us, and he does that in worship. And you know that. You've done that. You've walked with God. If you've been going through this Bible study for the last 7 months in the book of Exodus, you've seen the picture of God's worship and how to do that. And you see how when we do it, really, when we do it properly. And by the way, Leviticus is going to be more in-depth understanding. Why are two books of the Bible, especially one I've been doing, the book that gives us the picture of God's redemptive work, why are they so focused on the pictures of worship? Why? Because God's redemptive work had a purpose, and that purpose was for us to be in his presence. And so it would be natural for scripture to teach us about how to enter into his presence. He wants our presence with him. He wants to be with us. He says, then you shall bring Aaron and his sons to the door of tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. You put the holy garments on them, so he cleans them. Then he covers their sin with his holiness. That's what the garments are a picture of, the covering of sin in the holiness of God. And he says, and anoint him and consecrate him that he may minister to me as a priest. So there's the picture right there of him having the power of God to do the work of ministry before God. It's just obvious when you look at it. It's just right there. He says, and you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. They're to be clothed with the holiness of God and the power of God. And you shall anoint them as you anointed the Father, that they may minister to me as priests. For the anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. Notice, the priesthood of Aaron is an everlasting priesthood, and it's to be throughout their generations. You know, we're not a part of that priesthood. That's right. We're not in the order of Aaron. We're in the order of Melchizedek. Now, that's a whole new teaching. We're going to be going through that in January when we do our January Bible study for 4 nights. I'm going to teach through the book of Hebrews, and we're going to understand the holy priesthood that we're a part of, the order that we're a part of, and it's an order that is Melchizedek's order. And by the way, Jesus doesn't come in the order of Aaron. He comes in the order of Melchizedek, and he is the high priest of the order of Melchizedek. And so we're gonna understand that. But that being said, once you're a priesthood, and once God has made that holy priesthood, what is it? It's everlasting, and it's throughout our generations. So we're said to be a holy priesthood, which the New Testament says over and over again. When we're to be that holy priesthood, we're to walk with the presence and power of God upon us. And that's what the anointing oil is all about. It's about the presence and the power of God. And so when you think about that, and when you see the anointing oil, we get the anointing oil out, I want you to think about the presence and the power of God. Now, when we get the anointing oil out for someone who is feeling called or feeling a need to do the things that ministry is requiring, the ministry of God's word and God's purpose in the kingdom, then we get out a special oil that kind of smells good. And then when we get out the oil that is the olive oil to pray for those who are sick, we're honoring the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit by doing that and by being obedient to the book of James and God's word and saying we're going to invoke the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, which has been promised to us when we're wrecked by faith and when we believe and trust in what God says in his word. We invoke that power and we allow God to work. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you will learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to have his full work in you, that he will refresh you, that he would cleanse you, that he would provide you the goodness and the joy deep inside of you, and then ultimately that you will know what it is to walk in the presence and the power of God in your daily life.
As you go today, I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you, that he'll make his face to shine upon you, and that he will give you hope and peace today in Jesus' name.